God is good.
All the time.
All the time. Amen. Well, welcome. Good morning, everyone. My name is Reverend Carmen. I'm your pastor of Congregational Care. It is great to be here with you this morning as Reverend Shane is in Egypt. Actually, I think they got up this morning and took their flight to Luxor. So we are praying that they have a safe journey, a safe pilgrimage, as well as grow closer to God. So excited for them to be there. If you're joining us online, welcome. We're so glad that you're with us. And good morning to all of our campuses. I also need to give a shout out. I hope Nathan doesn't care that I got this thing wet, because this worship team that we have, when they lead us in worship, I tell you, like, the Holy Spirit just moves through me and tears begin to flow. So I'm sorry, Nathan, I got this wet. I don't know how that affects it, but so thank you. Can we give a round of applause for our worship team? They are just absolutely awesome. And then I want to give a shout out to Erica, too. Erica and her team, she has such great leadership skills, and she leads that team in such a way that they not only pour into those kids, they truly do life with them. They truly walk through life with them. And when they're having difficulties, she and her team are reaching out to them, teaching them the love of Jesus. And so they do such an awesome job. So if you know anybody that you think would love to come, or that you would love to send, I should say, to that event that's coming up, please do so. I am not a good movie watcher. If you know me really well, you know that. But Jenny, you spoke to me about a movie this morning, and as you were speaking, I thought, oh, I'm going to have to watch that because it just sounds so powerful. So, but I don't do movies well. And in fact, when Gary and I were dating, I was the worst date ever. He would take me to the movies and I would sleep through the movie. And when you got done with the movie and you went to dinner and you want to talk about what went on, I'd be like, yeah, I got nothing but a nap. I got a nap. But on January the 2nd this year, he and I were sitting watching a movie together. Okay, he was watching the movie, and I might have been playing a game or something on my phone. I don't know. But anyway, we were together, and my dad texted me that there was an NFL player on the field and that they were doing CPR. And so we immediately turned the channel to watch what I guess millions of Americans were watching as it unfolded. Journalist Morgan and Belson write, about 9 minutes into the game on Monday night, Damar Hamlin tackled Bengals receiver T. Higgins after a 13-yard catch. Higgins rammed into Hamlin at full speed, hitting him in the head and chest area. Hamlin quickly stood up and took a couple of steps, and then he collapsed backwards and his body went limp. Medical personnel came out onto the field and they began to administer CPR, and they attended to him for about 10 minutes. As players from both teams were visibly upset, some shedding tears on the sidelines, and others circled together and knelt in prayer. You may have seen that photo. One medical professional appeared to administer IVs, and they had the AED out. Hamlin was later placed on a stretcher and transported to the hospital. Fans in attendance at the stadium, who had been largely silent during this ordeal, applauded as the ambulance departed. Hamlin's collapse was witnessed by millions of viewers who were tuned into the broadcast on ESPN's Monday Night Football. Players from around the NFL quickly voiced their concern on social media. One said, "Praying hard. Please be okay, man." That came from Kansas City quarterback Patrick Mahomes. Hope I pronounced that right. Another one said, "This game is not important." J.J. Watt of the Arizona Cardinals wrote in a post, "Damar Hamlin's life is important. please be okay, brother. Please be okay. Bills quarterback Josh Allen wrote, please pray for my brother. There were hundreds of football fans who gathered outside the University of Cincinnati seeking information about what was going on. And others said they were watching what was going on the TV. And they got in their cars and they drove to the hospital so that they could pray outside the hospital. Immediately, the whole euphoria of being a Bengals fan was put into perspective. Because now we're talking about life or death. One of my favorite photos was that photo of people on the field. And I think there's been some since then. Kathy Sprinkle is a counselor out of Ohio. And you may have seen this on Facebook. I reached out to her and asked her if I could use this morning. She wrote a piece after the incident called, I Can't Wait. I can't wait until he is well and conscious. I can't wait until he hears the stories. The stories of how amazing first responder team resurrected his failed heartbeat while millions held their breath. How grown men wept in horror at what they had seen and then dropped to their knees, beseeching God to intervene on his behalf. How the Bengals team visited the Bills locker room to encourage and show compassion to his teammates. How much of downtown Cincinnati and the stadium was lit all night in Bills blue to remind people to pray for him. How hundreds of Bengals and Bills fans prayed together by candlelight at University of Cincinnati Medical Center. How millions has been raised for his children's charity. How the anchors of ESPN actually bowed their heads and prayed aloud on worldwide television for his complete healing. I can't wait for his mama to sit on his bed and tell him all the stories about how God used a young football player to teach a nation what is truly important: prayer. As I began to prepare my message this week, I started by thinking about, what is prayer? It's not a time you need to read your wish list to God. How many of you keep a wish list? Don't raise your hand. Prayer is not just a daily check-the-box activity. Prayer is not bribing or manipulating God. Have you ever attempted to bargain with God? I have. I remember when Gary and I were trying to have a baby. And we were doing everything that the doctors told us to do. And when nothing was working, I began bargaining with God. God, if you'll give me a baby, I'll always take him or her to church. I'll make sure to be a good mom. I'll do whatever you ask me to, God, if you'll just give me a baby. I even gave up soap operas. I know, I still can't believe it either. I loved to watch soap operas while I was cleaning the house. So one day, I said, God, if you'll give us a baby, I'll give up soap operas. Do you know to this day, I still don't watch soap operas? I gave them up. But I gotta tell you, I bet if I turned on the TV to watch one, I could pick up right where I left off, right? Prayer is not pleading. It's not trying to convince God of something. It's not trying to twist God's arm. It's not trying to move God to see my point of view. It's not expecting God to carry out my plans. Prayer is not giving God instructions, although I've tried. God, I'm going to do this, and I need for you to do this. If we're doing things, we need to ask ourselves. If we're doing these things, we need to ask ourselves what our motives are. James, the fourth chapter, the second verse through the third verse, tells us to check our motives. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures.
Check your motives, y'all.
So that's what prayer is not. Let's talk about what prayer is. Prayer is simply talking to God. Everybody say, talking to God. Prayer is a privilege. In fact, it's the highest privilege that we have as children of God. We get to go to the creator of the universe. We are God's children, and prayer is God's children talking with their Father. Prayer is having a conversation with God, a two-way conversation. It's a dialogue, not a monologue. Everybody say, two-way conversation. It's a two-way conversation where you communicate and speak to God, and God speaks to you. And you may say, well, I've never heard God speak to me audibly. Well, you just need to listen, because God speaks to us in many different ways. So the most important part for us then is for us to listen, because let's face it, God already knows what we need, right? But he wants this personal relationship between the two of us. So everybody say, I must listen. And that is the hardest part for me. It's easy for me to open my day with prayer and open my day in the Word, but to sit and be still, I have to really force myself to sit and be still and listen. When we pray, we should be aligning our hearts with God and seeking his guidance, because he always has our best interest at heart. Prayer is the acknowledgement that we are helpless to change a situation on our own. Let's face it, for some of us, prayer is the only thing that's going to change some of the things in our lives, right? Prayer shows our total dependence on God. I love what Reverend Shane said Wednesday night. He said, prayer plants dynamite and evangelism detonates it. Christ Church will begin a monumental movement of evangelism in 2023. If you want to hear more about that, go back and you'll hear more from Reverend Shane, but go back and listen to the Wednesday night service. You are not going to want to miss it, I promise you. So if we say prayer is dynamite, that means that it is a power source, right? And a power source is, well, it's powerful. Let me talk about how powerful prayer is. I am well into my 50s. In fact, I'm headed down the other side. I know. I look very young. I don't look that old. I get it. But you know what? God has allowed me in all my years to do some really cool things. And I've done things that I would never have imagined. But I can tell you the one thing I do every day is to pray. Because that is where I find my source of strength and my power. Gary just got a new car. It's electric. I argued about this. I thought, oh, I got to have power. I need some power. I don't know about an electric car, honey. Well, he got his electric car, and it's got some power, I got to tell you. But if he doesn't connect it to a power source and charge the car, it's not going to get him very far, right? Electric is the power source. He connects the car to the power source every night when he gets home. Well, our lives are the same way. If we don't connect to Jesus, who is our power source, if we don't connect to him daily, we're useless. Our way of connecting to Jesus is through prayer. The Bible tells us that effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, it didn't say a perfect man, it says a righteous man, a man who has been made right with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. The earnest prayer of a righteous man has great power and produces wonderful results. As Christians, our most powerful resource is talking with God through prayer. The results are often greater than what we ever thought possible if we just go to him. How many of you can say that you've prayed and God answered it beyond what you ever imagined? Amen. Some people see prayer as a last resort when all else fails, but this is just backwards. We should always take everything to God first. I gotta tell you, it sure would have saved me a lot of headaches through the years, if I'm gonna be honest. Philippians 4:6 says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done." We're going to get into our scripture for today. We're in 2 Chronicles. The book of 2 Chronicles records the rule of David's son, King Solomon. King Solomon is often referred to as the wisest man who ever lived. He achieved much in business and government, but his greatest achievement was that he was the man that God used to build the temple in Jerusalem. And in 2 Chronicles, we see that in the books 2 through 6. That's the building of the temple. One of the ongoing themes that we see in 2 Chronicles is to seek God. God continually reminded them in every situation to seek him. God's people knew how miserable their lives could be when they didn't seek God. And they knew how blessed they were when they went to God and they sought him. So we're in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and we're going to start in verse 14. And this is a familiar verse to everyone. It's frequently quoted scripture. And I believe that it's crucial for our churches and our nation today. "Then if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land." We have to do four things, right, from that scripture. We have to be humble. We have to pray. We have to seek. And we have to turn. God called the people to humble themselves. One thing that is foreign to us is having a mindset of humility, isn't it? We as people are arrogant and independent, but humility is exactly what we need when we go to God. God doesn't care what kind of car you drive. God doesn't care what you're wearing. God doesn't care how much money you have. God doesn't care how many Twitter followers you have. Incidentally, I have none. I don't use Twitter. I don't know how to use it, so I got nothing there. But God doesn't care about any of that. God just wants us to be humble. So being on our knees when we're talking about prayer, being on our knees shows humility. Now, we can pray in any posture. In fact, I'm praying right now that God will continue to give me the words that his people need to hear. So we can pray in any posture. But when we talk about praying and we get down on our knees and we pray, this shows total surrender. And I love when I see people that get on their face. If you come to our Wednesday night services, sometimes people will be at the altar on their face. That shows total surrender to God. The second thing the scripture tells us is we need to pray. We need to empty ourselves of our pride, and we need to surrender to God. Do you ever get discouraged in your prayer life? I know I have. And when that happens, I have to examine my life and find out what's interfering or what is the obstacle that's going on between me and God. And I want to give you four things, four possible things that can be obstacles in your prayer life. First, are you truly making prayer a priority? Is it the first thing that you're doing before you roll out of the bed in the morning? Is it the first thing that you're giving him the top of your day. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 17 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." To pray without ceasing means to have our minds always on the things of God, to be in constant communication with Him, so that every moment may be fruitful for Him. You can start by doing some of this. You say, "I don't know how to do that." Pray without ceasing. You can start by setting an alarm for certain times of the day. So start your morning with prayer, but just set your alarm to remind you to stop what you're doing and to pray. Pray at mealtimes if you don't pray at mealtimes now. When you begin reading your daily devotions and your daily scriptures, start with prayer. At the start and end of every day, pray. Keep prayer reminders on your refrigerator, on the bathroom mirror, or your desk at work. Even keep them on your dashboard of your car. And you should always pray when you get in that car, right? I mean, there is a lot that can go on and a lot that can go wrong. Pray to God before you get in your car and go. How do you pray? You can use a method. One of the methods that we talk about here is acts, and that's adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And I'm not going to dig into that today, but I certainly want to with you if you want more information. So get a hold of me. A second obstacle to prayer may be unconfessed sin. Psalm 66:18-19 says, "If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God did listen, and He paid attention to my prayer." The good news is that when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A third obstacle that you may have is unforgiveness. Ooh, God has spoken with me about this one, to be certain. Matthew 6:14-15. "If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins." Have you ever felt like your prayer life is less than, or you feel like you just can't pray? Try asking God if there's unforgiveness in your heart. But be prepared, because God will give you an answer, and you need to be prepared to forgive. And God will bring things up to you that you don't even know you need to forgive. It's happened to me. I'm thinking, man, what is going on? God revealed to me if I'm upset with somebody, or if I have a hard heart, or if I've got unforgiveness. And God will reveal it to you every time. A fourth obstacle that you may have is a lack of faith. Mark 11:23, and this comes from the King James Version. "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." So we need to walk in humility. We need to acknowledge that we need God. We need to get on our knees and pray. And next in our verse from today, it says that we need to seek. We need to start asking God, not for blessings, although blessings come, right? God gives us blessings, then we don't even ask for them. But we need to start seeking God's presence in everything that we do and every part of our lives. We need to have more passion for God. Matthew 6:33, Jesus tells us to seek first the kingdom of God above all else and to live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. I don't know about you, but I want everything that I need. That doesn't say he'll give me everything I want, but he'll give me everything that I need. The problem is that we've stopped seeking God. We fail to get in his word, and we fail to go to him in prayer, and we start following our own way, our own ideas, our own desires. We need to get back to seeking God in his word and prayer if things are ever going to change. Psalms 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." Let's look at it this way. To walk safely in the dark, we need a flashlight, right? Or some kind of a light, so that we don't run into things and trip over things and fall in holes. In this life, there is evil all around us. But the Bible can be our light to show us the way ahead so we won't stumble as we walk. We need to study the Bible so that we can see our way clear enough to stay on the right path. I'm so thankful for a senior pastor that really drills that into us to stay in God's word. I don't know if you all know it, but we are one of the very few churches that do that. And so we are very blessed to have him to help us along that path. You see, we've lost our way because we've thrown out the Bible, or we've changed the Bible to what we want it to say, right? To our liking, what we needed to say for the day. We've stopped reading it in our homes. We've taken it out of our schools. We've even taken it out of some of our churches. We're more concerned about what society feels than about what the Bible says. Or we've twisted it to say and mean what we want it to. Too many pastors have abandoned the truth as to not hurt or offend someone. We're more concerned with making people feel good than about training in righteousness and love. It's time to get back to the Word of God and to truly seek Him. And I believe it starts right here in the church. And I'll break it down even further. It begins here at Christ Church, and it begins with me, and it begins with you. The fourth thing that verse 14 tells us is to turn from our wicked ways. We need to repent, and I'm not just talking about asking for forgiveness. I'm talking about true repentance, where we're truly sorry for what we did, and we want to change our behavior, we want to change our attitude, and we want to walk more closely with God. We need to say, "Search me, O God, and if there is any wickedness in me, cleanse me from it." We need to turn from our selfishness. We need to turn from our pride, our lust, our lying, our gossiping, jealousy. And we as Christians need to turn to truth. We need to turn from our wicked ways and turn back to a loving, gracious, and forgiving God. Watch what it says will happen at the end of this verse if we do that. God says he will hear from us. God will hear us from heaven, and he'll forgive our sins and restore the land. Do you hear what this is saying? It says God will forgive us, but he'll also give us his favor, right? By restoring the land. Then in verse 15, God says, "My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place." Every prayer. Christ Church, I believe we're at a crossroads with everything going on around us. And I believe that God is calling his church to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek his face, to turn from our wicked ways, and may the God of heaven hear us. May he forgive us, and may he restore our land. The Bible tells us that one day every knee will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's begin that today. This altar is open. Come, humble yourself. Kneel and totally surrender to God. Seek his face. Repent. Turn from your wicked ways. And Christ Church, let's hear from heaven. And let's allow God to heal and restore this land. Let us get connected to our power source. And let it begin with me and you today. Will you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, Father, thank you that you are a loving God. Father, thank you that you are a forgiving God. Father, thank you that you continue to give us chance after chance. Father, I pray today that you will give us another chance. Give us the chance to be the Christian people that you want us to be. And may you hear us from heaven and restore our land. All these things we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.